Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Match Ball.
The podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. 10% off as always with our discount URL, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan. Hello. Michael's here as well.
Hello.
As is Moscow. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Arsenal are shit, aren't they? Really shit. Second half, 4-0 up, and look at how they caved under the mildest bit of pressure. We're miles better than them.
They did cave to a victory, it's worth saying.
Yep.
And only hit the post, what was it? Twice? Three times? Well, some of them were offside, though, weren't they? So yeah. It's not like they were going to score all those goals.
And this is where your optimism gets you, Michael Normanton.
What a fucking idiot. Well, I didn't know we were going to have to rearrange all the team to fit Pascal Strike into a position he can't even play anyway.
I mean, this is the starting point, isn't it? Let's go for that as a jump-off point, because everybody, to a man, woman, child, baby and dog, and cat, and any other
mammal
species you identify as, everybody seems to be unified around the point that we're sticking too many square pegs in round holes, and it's all just to accommodate one person.
It's all just to accommodate Pascal Struyck.
That's like, it, basically.
He's like,
I was going to say one personnel change, but that's not the phrase I'm after. That's bollocks.
He's like the Neymar of Leeds United. He demands, unless I play CDM, I'm going to go back to Brazil and have parties and screw the lot of you, and the wages will be wasted.
But it's well true, though, isn't it?
Because throwing his weight around at Thorpe Arch.
But think
Marco Bielsa, unless you do what I want.
You think about it, though. You've got Jamie Shack, who came in, who's a midfielder, playing at right back. Then we switched our right back to centre back. We had one recognised centre back in there, the remaining one that's fit. And then we shoved one of our other centre backs into midfield. And then we've obviously got fucking Sugar Rush Kid at left back or whatever, who's prone to doing whatever he wants to do on any given day. It just feels like too many changes. Just put somebody in midfield like Dallas. He can probably play there.
I will just give you the old. Well, he was in midfield. I will just give you the alternative. Marco Bielsa, who says he didn't think Phillips missing or the changes made were a specific problem.
But
they were.
They were.
Yeah, he's wrong, isn't he? So
yeah, it's not just the one thing.
Resign.
But it's not just the one thing, is it? It's not just the personnel changes. It's the subpar performance with the personnel changes. So if you have an off day, you go to London, you've got a few injuries, it all conspires to make Leeds United have these performances in the Premier League.
He says Struyck, Ayling and Shackleton all filled in well.
But not well enough.
Struyck was awful. I mean, the first half, Struyck was awful. I'm just going to say it. There's no point pretending it otherwise. It didn't work at all.
Well, he kept dropping into centre-half, didn't he?
He barely touched it. Like in the pressure we were under, he needs to be taking responsibility. Calvin is willing to receive the ball in difficult positions and then make us move forward. Strike just didn't, whether or not it was players not trusting to pass to him in tight areas, I'm not sure, whether he was not in good enough positions to be passed to. But it felt like too often Meslier was just stood with the ball being a bit like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, Calvin's kind of,
where is someone?
Yeah, well, Calvin's modus operandi is to take calculated risks in that area, isn't it? To receive it in tight areas and move it out of them, because that way you create space elsewhere. Whereas you've got to say the defender's instinct is not to start doing stuff in tight areas.
I mean, they also, to give them some credit, they did press as well.
What are you giving that Arsenal credit for, you Judas?
But they did. They made it difficult for us. Whereas we saw against Palace, we just passed it around at the back because they weren't pressing us, and that was fine. It felt like the opposite was happening today with them just relentlessly pressing our defenders. And without the out ball, which was Calvin, there's nothing we could do. It just meant we lost it.
And the other side of it was, I spotted in the first half, Rafinha making a good run for a pass from Struyck, who played it backwards. I think he went to Cooper, and Rafinha kind of stood forward of him and was properly yelling at him. And then he did get the ball and went running up the pitch and made a really good chance and then came back to Struyck and yelled at him some more. I think it's not Struyck's instincts to... He worries. He's a worrier in that position because he's not very good at it.
Well, that's a coincidence because he worries me.
He's not going to find Rafinha. And then the times as well that we saw Struyck several times giving up possession and then Arsenal attack us. And the comeback in the second half, was it a coincidence that Jamie Shackleton was in midfield when that happened instead of at right back? Admittedly, he did then go back to right back, and then now Huggins was in midfield, and Huggins also did very well. But we suddenly with another midfielder in midfield, that helped us as well. Bielsa's also said apparently Click was playing with a hip injury, which is very on brand for Matches Click. Of course, it was a hip injury. The hippest,
a hipster.
The hippest man the club has.
Gone full Shakira.
So when we, you know, we then have an injured Matches Click with Pascal Struyck, who is a centre-back, and Stuart Dallas doing his best, that midfield was not as strong as it could be.
But that's to say, it's that death by a thousand cuts, all these different factors feeding into not quite being at the races on any given day, which we've got it in us. Because when we're on our day, we're brilliant.
And
when we're not on our day,
not brilliant,
we're terrible. But
we haven't yet been brilliant with Pascal Struyck in that position, have we? Not in this league, anyway. We had some decent performances at the end of last season, but it hasn't worked there. Which isn't to have a go at him, like we were saying. He is a centre back,
very good one,
and it's fine there because, and like as you said, receiving the ball at centre back, you basically always get the ball passed back to you. It is a completely different role, having to getting the ball from all angles.
Receiving it and turning with it.
Yeah, it is a completely different job. So
it's playing quarterback as well. You've got to have the vision for the passes out to the wings. You don't... Struyck is capable of that. We've seen big, beautiful passes from him.
Doing that from the back is different, though, isn't it, than doing it from midfield?
Because you're facing the way you're playing, yeah.
Yeah. So I think like we have had a go at him for about 10 minutes here.
But then the other...
But it's not having a go at him. Sorry, I was going to say, we're not having a go at him. We're having a go at the system that put him there, I think. Yeah. We need to probably draw the line between that.
Well, not necessarily the system, but the personnel choices, because we weren't going to change the system.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But, and I wonder now, having heard Bielsa talking about Click playing with a hip injury, whether the idea of putting Click there maybe was precluded by the fact that he wasn't fully fit, so wouldn't have been able to operate against... Who was it? It was... Odegaard, wasn't it? Marking him may have taken too much effort on Click's hips, so he had to... I wonder if there's an element of having to do what he did, but even...
Stuart
Dallas never gets a chance there, does he?
Can we have more players that are better?
Eventually, yeah. I think that's probably going to happen.
But seriously, that is... We know that's at the root of it, don't we? That we don't quite have the squad, we've got the injuries, we don't quite have the quality when all these factors, you know, play out together in a game. So it's time, isn't it? We need another transfer window, maybe another year or two to start eliminating these losses.
Well, it depends what progress you want. I started thinking about this. If we're next season and we buy some more players and we develop the squad again, but we still go to Arsenal and maybe we lose 3-2 next time, I'm starting to wonder, thinking about what the reaction is going to be to things like that, whether we won't have improved enough for some people, you know, as Bielsa taking it as far as he can. All that kind of stuff will come, because development in the Premier League is difficult to put a target on, because apart from the prize money, finishing between 17th and 8th or whatever is exactly the same. So unless we qualify for Europe, how will we have developed, and what are the chances actually of qualifying for Europe in the Premier League when you're in the second season out? So that's all in the future. And I think that it's, when you talk about we need another transfer window, I'm thinking more in terms of we'll need, you know, 3 seasons before we'll... Certainly, at what point do we start thinking we're going to win the Premier League? In most Leeds fans' minds, it's this season, and then adding in little layers of realism, maybe next season we won't be having a chance at it.
Yeah,
it's going to take a lot more than...
Fourth your first season back, and then we win it the season after. We know that's the historical precedent. No, I was having a chat with Phil Hay, sorry for that clang, name dropping. I was chatting with him on WhatsApp about that game, and he was saying that eventually... the defeats like this, where Leeds just don't turn up and it completely gets away from us in the first half, tolerance will drop for those over time. So maybe next season we won't be as forgiving. As you've just said there, Moscow, do you think it will be as immediate as next season, or will it be a couple of years?
Yeah, you see, you should talk to me, not Phil Hay. I'm just going to say the same things, but in an accent that's easier to understand. I don't know about... What was your question?
No, just saying that Phil is making the same point that you made. If it carries on happening, it will eventually wear thin. But the point is, I guess, is not to get ahead of ourselves and to understand this is going to happen in the first season back. And okay, it's fine. We're all right.
And we can see that it's the limitations of a squad as well. If we've done, as Arsenal have done, I suppose, where you spend 70 million quid on a midfielder and you're still shit at the end of it.
I mean, they're still only just next to us in the table and we've got a game in hand.
They're not that much better than us. I mean, across the two games, there's a good argument to say we've been the better team. Because they were, I mean, the first half, we were out of shape completely. And still, if he has a good day, there's a fair chance Meslier saves all of their goals because they're all near post efforts and one that he gave away, which was a, you could kind of see it coming. In fairness, it's been coming all season, hasn't it? That one where he gets the ball taken off his toe and then he fouls someone. That's been in the post for several months. But he still should save the shots. And I think one of the days he does, and then we're still in the game and we can improve and maybe get something from it. It felt like everything just went wrong in that half.
I think the third goal, the one that he got some heat for, I feel minded to defend him partly out of appreciation for the points that he's won us this season, which he has. He hasn't just been a good goalkeeper. He has won points in the Premier League for us. The guy hits his hat at him really hard. And it was quite close in.
Jesus Christ.
And it did make me think, like, okay, you shouldn't get beaten at your near post. But if somebody leathers it at you from, what was it, about 10 yards, it's difficult.
Goals and shots will go in. We understand that. I don't think he did himself any favours today. But then I also think the way that Arsenal pressed us created those situations as well, because he's encouraged to play. He's got ice in his veins. He's always going to try and play under the circumstances. And because the program to do what they're told, he's going to try and play out from the back.
Ahead of it happening on the little WhatsApp group, I've got some mates. I said we're asking far too much of him here, because we just kept giving the ball to him and being like, well, you do something then. You do the job of Calvin Phillips.
What's this WhatsApp group? We're not in it, are you, dick?
Correct.
What's the sickest thing you've had put into that WhatsApp group? Can you say it on this podcast?
100% not.
No, okay.
But yeah, we were asking him to play out from the back by himself at points, because it just was defenders just giving it back to him and then being like, well, can you see any big diagonal balls? And then occasionally tried it, they got cut out. Some were quite good. Some ones were good balls, but then the headers that were flicked on, there was no one there to receive them and the pressure was back on us again. It just didn't work.
Because they couldn't find strike, gave it to Meslier. And so you're going from a 21-year-old to a 20-year-old. And Ederson, who is probably the best player at doing that since Manuel Neuer, he fucks up occasionally. Look at Alisson over the last couple of games for Liverpool, who appears to be completely broken as a goalkeeper.
They're all at it. They're all at it, Moscow.
It happens to the best of them. And I remember watching some clips of Meslier at Lorient when he was playing before he signed for us. And there's a great...
Did you make the video at any point?
I did not. But there was one clip where the ball is rolled to him outside the penalty area and he tries to beat somebody and falls over and they just kick it into the net. And it's not an isolated incident, but at that point he was 17, 18 playing in League 2.
Duh.
And his development he'll never stop. He'll be 30 and he'll play that way and he'll make a mistake because he's human. So it's fine. He just had
said that he was shit on that first goal as well. I thought he got his weight was all on the wrong foot, wasn't it? He got pulled back where he wasn't expecting it. And
well, let's
Aubameyang does move around quite quickly though, doesn't he?
He is good. I mean, he's good at doing that kind of goal. He's scored lots of goals, doesn't he?
And a lot of them kind of look like that as well.
Well, let's talk about the strikey incidents. One of which, well, I said it wasn't strike, was it? It was the VAR one I mentioned, but the two penalty incidents basically. Definite nailed on for the one where he...
The strike had no involvement in either of
them.
When
he fucked up.
The strikey incident.
I was thinking of penalties. It's been a long day. Valentine's Day, isn't it? It was the penalty obviously nailed on when he was pissing about at the back. What about the other one, the VAR one?
Not a penalty.
No?
No.
Was he going down before the touch?
Yeah, he completely expected Cooper to foul him and he didn't. And for some reason he wasn't booked for it either, which he should have been.
Mm. People do fall over in football though, because it's a contact sport almost.
I mean, the fact that one was given and then overturned, but they didn't even seem to look at the Bamford one in the second half seemed odd.
I didn't see that. What happened?
He got sort of sandwiched between two players as he was running through. It's one of those where no one really puts a tackle in, but all of a sudden Pat Bamford's in the middle of two people and there's nowhere for him to go and there's no way of him getting the ball. I don't know. I don't know if it's a penalty or not. It's the sort of thing that I'm absolutely certain it's a free kick if it happens on outside the box, because the refs would just, on the balance of it, go, yeah, probably. Whereas in the box, it feels more of a drastic decision. So I would have expected that to be given as a penalty.
I would have liked the referee to go and have a look at it on his little telly box. I thought, I don't particularly enjoy it as a thing that happens, but referees kind of giving a penalty so that they can then go and have a look at it and see whether it is or not seems to be. I don't understand why he wouldn't do that in that situation and think, well, there's enough there. Bamford's on the floor. Two guys ran into him. I'll go and have a...
Two guy playing.
I'll go and get a better look at it. And then and that's sort of where it worked on the first one. I was fooled as well by, I think, the first replay. I thought Cooper had definitely tripped him.
And be honest, was there a bit of you went, fucking Cooper?
Yeah, because I thought he's just running to him and he's tripped him. And then it was the next angle when you see there's actually no foot-to-foot contact. It was the shove at the top. And I think the referee must have, that's why he's changed so much, because the player did, there was contact and he went down. But where he'd, I assume, if he was like me, had thought it had been a trip on the ankles, that didn't happen. So he goes, oh, right, he didn't trip him up. Like, and there's not enough in the unbalancing of him to give a penalty. So
it's fucking tedious, though, isn't it? Out. Oh, this is tedious.
It is a bit. So, I mean, it wasn't as worse. It wasn't as bad as some examples I've seen today. He was relatively. I still don't understand why, when there it goes to VAR for a penalty, the referee just hangs around the penalty spot. Why not just move a little bit? Like a, it's almost like a substitute when they know they're going to get hauled off and they're trying to waste time going over to the other touchline. So that then when they say, go and have a look, it's, oh, okay, right.
So I do in Aldi, you know, like when you're about, let's say, three deep at the checkouts or something like that, and you know that Aldi's way is to open a new checkout when queues start building up. You'll start going over towards the spare checkout, so just start hanging out at the line slightly, like just getting ready to move over to that that line.
Or somebody could run onto the pitch, maybe a robot with a screen, take it to him, and then it saves some time, because it is all about the time that it takes... that it takes so long for these things to happen. If it was Wimbledon, they'd have ball boys and ball girls from the local schools who'd be running about with little iPads for the referee to look at.
So you want school boys with iPads running on the pitch?
Yes.
That's the conclusion of today's game, is it?
Well, you know, we give Niall Huggins a go.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With reference to Niall Huggins, let's talk about the substitutes, because they did change the shape of the game, actually, in the end, despite the, should we say, consternation that normally meets the arrival of Helder Costa and or Tyler Roberts these days.
I think Tyler Roberts people are coming round to. Helder Costa, probably goal less machine. So, and the fact he not deliberately.
sabotaged our own defence.
Not deliberately. Immediately, that's the word I'm looking for, gave them a goal. That didn't help, did it?
No, not at all. Did he balance the universe up, though, by getting one himself?
I suppose he did.
He loves a goal in the Premier League, doesn't he? Because that's what will history will remember him that way. They'll look at this season and they'll go, Helder Costa, what is it? Is it four? Maybe now? It's at least three. And go, Helder Costa, goals in the Premier League. Why didn't they play him more often? And then maybe they'll watch the games.
The substitutions, I thought, looked terrible, I've got to be honest. But we did improve, so I guess I was wrong.
And Tyler Roberts did nothing wrong.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good. And I like him playing, and I wonder what we could do to put him in the team more often. At Wolves, if Click's hip is bad enough that he had to come off at half-time, or maybe they were protecting him for Wolves, play Roberts at 10 as attacking midfield, and then Dallas at 8 where he was, and Calvin hopefully will be back to play centre back, striking defence, ailing at right back, or will be well with the world. Shackleton, I thought, was really good, but you could tell Arsenal targeted him, and the first goal was him getting pulled into midfield, them playing a ball in behind him, and then Ayling is not good enough as a centre-back to then deal with Aubameyang running at him from the wing exactly where he was to be. And I think they played Shackleton like an old pub piano at that point. And it didn't escape my notice that the fourth goal came from there as well. It was another one where Shackleton's kind of up against it, and it's Aubameyang just running in off that wing, and Smith-Rowe, Emile Smith-Rowe and Aubameyang running about in Shackleton and Ayling's area. I think they'd seen, it goes back to what we were saying before about it. It wasn't just Struyck reducing the quality in the Calvin Phillips position. I think the whole right side of our defence just gave Arsenal the point to go, we'll keep attacking that because they're not experienced enough there to stop us. And we've got Pierre-Patrick Aubameyang.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, not to mention that it broke the link between Ayling and Rafinha, which seems to have been popping recently.
And Rafinha wasn't good.
No, because he didn't have the service in the link-up, did he?
He did hit that really nice through ball, which led to the Costa goal. That was his ball down the line to Roberts, wasn't it, which was then crossed in.
But he had
a shot that was fairly decent, although he pulled one chance wide as well, which I thought I've come to expect better from him.
And the corner.
Yeah, so he had a really good game.
But then those are the things that you would come away and say, well, Helder Costa was also good because, you know, he did score a goal.
Well,
and
I expect Rafinha to do that stuff now. I want to see him ending people like he did against Crystal Palace.
Just to go back to the right side of defence, though, I think in that first half in particular, when we were struggling to get out of the back, there was the Struyck problem. But then Luke Ayling is another one who quite often just plays a little 1-2 and bursts out of defence and completely changes the shape of the game for us. And he has to be a bit more conservative when he's in the middle. Mm. And you can't just leave a big gaping hole in the middle of defence and charge forward. So he didn't. And therefore, we didn't ever escape.
And then it became apparent in the second half when Shackleton was in midfield that he was really good at doing that. What, we had a good chance in the first half. Shackleton played a great ball across. He played a brilliant pass over the top into space for Rafinha. And then I think he made a chance from there. But it was telling that he'd come into midfield and did it. And he wasn't doing it from right back. And then the second half, he was very good at finding space in Arsenal's half and linking up the play and all the stuff that he couldn't really manage from right back. But then Niall Huggins was also perfectly adequate in midfield. Maybe the solution is...
Where does he play, sorry?
Less experience. For Leeds United, I don't know. I think he's supposed to be a left winger.
He's a left winger or a left back when I've seen him in the 23s. Right.
So stick him in right back, then central midfield.
But
he started
at
left back, didn't he?
I was going to ask about him, but he always confuses me. What was the name of the club sponsor that we had that sounded like the name of an ambulance-chasing lawyer?
Oh, Neil Hudgens.
I was scared. Neil Hudgel?
Hudgel, yes.
Yeah, Hudgel, but it wasn't a shirt sponsor. It was the...
South Stand.
I said club sponsor. I didn't say shirt sponsor.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I also had to...
And they're not ambulance-chasing lawyers. I just want to say that clearly before I libel a set of solicitors.
Do you remember the song, Hudgel Be So Good For You, that they played? They'd done a whole song for it, and I think they only played it about twice because it was so awful.
Because that's what my brain does. My brain doesn't go, oh, he's a good young prospect. I wonder where he plays and what he's good at. I always think of the lawyer and the club sponsor.
Speaking of good young prospects, then, where does the decision to bring him on ahead of Pablo Hernandez leave Pablo Hernandez?
On the bench?
If I was Pablo Hernandez, though, I'd have maybe looked at those changes and thought, why am I here then?
Well, he's had his debut, hasn't he? Several times.
So everyone just gets one game.
Well, it's if he is fucking off at the end of the season or even the end of the next season, we learned something from seeing Niall Huggins play, didn't we? I think that was what I was taking from it is let's see what this kid who's been doing, I presume has been doing really well in the under 23s. And obviously they train all together as one big group. So, and also, because he came on at left back, and I don't think Pablo would probably pout even more if Bielsa said, "Nah, Pablo, come on, yes, you are going to play left back." He'd be off.
It's more that he's not part of the plan. Is the thing? If you need to change your game, and Pablo Hernandez is not one of the first three things you think of.
Can you build your plans around a 35-year-old with dodgy hamstrings?
We did last year
in the Championship, and he was 34, and his hamstrings held up. Whereas Tyler Roberts came on and was very good. Would Pablo have played better than Tyler Roberts did?
No, I'm not suggesting he necessarily would. It's just more where...
You're being sentimental, aren't you?
I am, essentially. Yeah. And thinking where does this leave Hernandez? If he's not going to come on in a game like this...
The thing is, he'd rolled the dice, though, hadn't he, in an attacking sense by bringing on Costa and Tyler Roberts. And with only one left and you feel like you need more balance on the left-hand side that's not Alioski running around causing mayhem, whatever it is, you know, Project Chaos, then he made a change, didn't he?
And David St. Hubbins, which is who I was confusing him with from Spinal Tap, gave us more options because it meant he could play. Him and Shackleton were swapping from right back and midfield all the time, which again, if Pablo Hernandez had come on, he would have just had to be Pablo Hernandez on the pitch, whereas we could change things around, we could move things about, everybody was filling in for each other, and it all became quite varied. And quite, in a way, it's a very Leeds United match where, you know, you're 3-0 down at halftime, then 4-0 by 50 minutes, and at the end of the match, you come away thinking, oh, well, we did some decent stuff in the second half, it was all right, saw some decent young players, a couple of good goals, could have gone our way if a little bit more in the second half. Mm. Won the second half.
We did win the second half.
But it's so daft.
But it goes back to what Phil was saying, though, wasn't it? You can kind of in these...
Well, I wasn't texting Phil during the game, so I don't know what he was saying, do
in
I?
These, in this season, we've got enough leeway to be philosophical about it because we are essentially safe. And these games will happen on your first season back, but we need to learn from them and not do it again next year.
And that
year.
Might explain the Pablo thing as well. If we weren't safe, maybe it is a job for Pablo. Go on there and keep us in the division. We need you to do this desperately. Whereas, because we are safe, it's a little bit like Robbie Gotts getting his game at Arsenal last year. Maybe that's it. All our young players have to have a debut at Highbury too.
I know it's not everything, but just looking at the XG, 2.25 to 0.97. And that one of those is a penalty for them, which I think counts as 0.6.
It's about 0.6, 0.7. Yeah.
Depends who it is. They all have different
it's
rules.
It's quite high anyway.
It's somewhere between 2/3 and 3/4, depending on... Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the rest of the stats, we were not terrible. We were not... The stats don't show us being as bad as we were in the first half, probably, because it did feel like we were not anywhere like
ourselves. That's why you need to like watch the game as well.
Yeah. But by the... Because we were bad in the first half, weren't we?
It started from the first 3 minutes, we didn't go into their half, and that's when I had quite a bad feeling about how the rest of the game was.
It had a slight scum game feeling, didn't it?
Yeah.
Saka was only being very good, not McTominay levels of good.
But we just did not cross the halfway line for the first 3 minutes of the match. And in that time, I think we'd already had to block a couple of shots at our goal. And it kind of carried on that way because we didn't spend much time in their half at all in the first half.
Mm. Heroes and villains?
I mean, Strike had a bad game and just shouldn't play in that position. But
hell of a goal.
Listens to the pod, doesn't he?
He does, because you were set. What were you saying?
If you don't recognise the goalkeeper, head it right into the net as hard as you can.
And what did he do?
Did that.
Exactly that.
So that was good score from a corner.
It was a great header and embarrassed David Luiz, and I think somebody else was trying to mark him as well. I was going to mention that when we were talking before about pound for pound, who probably gets more value out of their squad. And that 4-2 defeat at Arsenal, you'd still say we gained, like our players proved their worth more pound for pound. I don't need to over-explain what pound for pound fucking means. They said at one point...
What do you mean, Moscow? Sorry, just...
They were talking about Pepe when he was sitting in the stand and they were saying that he's a very good player, but then when Arsenal don't have the ball, he tends to just switch off. I was like, you can't pay £70 million for a fucking striker who... His problem is that when they don't have the ball...
Not actually a striker.
What is he?
A midfielder, midfielder.
A footballer.
It's like my telly that goes into standby after 5 minutes if you don't do anything or whatever.
Exactly. And that's a £70 million player. And then, you know, we paid, what was it, £1 million for Strike and we're kind of... And £5 million for Melier and we're kind of...
I don't think we paid £1 million for Strike, did we? Wasn't he more or less free?
It was Academy transfer deal, wasn't it? It'll probably have been... A pound or two, some tulips.
Pound for pound. What does that mean?
Anyway, that the problems with our players are fine, sort of for what they are, and I can't believe I'm just glad that we aren't paying £70 million for players who have the same problems as our players. If we'd paid £70 million for Strike, it would be a different conversation. And yet, Arsenal as a football club are a club who they probably would pay £70 million for Strike and then hate him.
Yeah, because they hate everything, even when they win.
I'm looking forward to the sheer absolute upset on Arsenal fans TV when we hear from some of that on Tuesday, because I doubt they'll be happy. There'll be something we'll have... Luiz on the Strike header. Get that funny head man out of our club. That'll be what it's
all
about.
Well, it seems
about.
To be their biggest point of joy was when Alioski got taken off, because, you know, because of those fun remarks on the official Leeds podcast about Pepe, which was just, you know, just a little bit of throwaway nonsense. Just come on. It wasn't even his comments. It was Patrick Bamford's comments, for Christ's sake.
Can I nominate Gabriel, actually, their centre-back as a villain as well? Spent a lot of time on the ground. I mean, he was annoyed at Bamford for allowing, for going near him as well, when you could tell it was because he was ailing, flopping more than ailing.
Would you say it was out of reach of Bamford?
Quite possibly, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. There was one particular one he should have been booked for when the ref didn't give him a free kick.
Not a patch on Pascal Strike, is he?
Very good. Very good. These references are going to be probably lost on anyone under the age of about 30. But yeah, he was annoying, diving about the place. And Saka had a few dives as well. But, you know.
Alioski did stroke Saka's hair after one of those dives, though, I noticed, which I quite enjoyed. It was completely out of nowhere. He just, as if he was fascinated by his hair and wanted to know what it was made of.
Wasn't a ruffle either, was it? It was a bit more tender than that. It was kind of running his hair, his hand through it.
Valentine's Day.
And Saka does, I think he must do it so often that Saka just didn't even flinch. Like, oh, okay, he's stroking my hair again, is he?
We've got another hero, young Neil Hudgel, solicitor, who came on for us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say dreams can come true?
Leave it now.
Shall I stop?
Yep.
Yeah, I've also, as a villain, he's called, what's his, it's Cedric Suarez, isn't it? And the Raccoons villain is Cyril Sneer, I now realise, but that also took some working out during the first half, so I was distracted from the game trying to establish why the villain from the Raccoons was playing for Arsenal, and then realised it was somebody else with a different name.
I've now gone to a website listing all of Gabriel's songs.
I think he had a dreadful tash as well, didn't he, Cedric, from what I can remember. At one point he showed a close upon him and it looked very dubious.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't impressed with Emil Smith Rowe's bowl cut either. For a Leeds United hero, I would have expected better hair, and also for him not to be so good against us. I think he was villainous today. I feel quite let down by ESR.
With
his name like a techno act.
Do you think the subs came too early? Maybe the players going off were saying, give me a little more time?
I mean, she didn't write that though, did? That's a cover.
Just got to number 5 in the charts in 1996, so.
I don't even know that one.
Give me just a little more time.
Did she cover that?
Yeah.
And my love will surely grow.
She did Walk On By as well.
Again, a cover.
Mm. I Wish. I don't know if that's the cover of Skilo. But some nice references for you. Just go on Spotify. That's what you should do. Happy You imagine Gabrielle rapping, no, aren't you?
That was just the Skilo coming into play.
Didn't expect that. Should we just get out of here and, you know, come back and
are
do
we
it
nominating
again
Marcelo Friday. Bielsa as a villain today?
Yeah, got it wrong, didn't
made we? All those changes, and now he's saying that all those changes were right when they were wrong. That's not right.
I mean, his excellence got us a foothold back in the game, but not until we were well out of the game.
Tyler Roberts' excellence got us a foothold back in the game, so he can be a hero today.
Let's just sort it out on Tuesday. Let's go home. It's Valentine's Day. Let's go home for some romance. No?
Seems unlikely.
on that bleak finish.
Try putting a Gabrielle playlist on Spotify and see what happens.
There you go.
The course of your night may change immediately.
Stick a patch on.
All right, come on then. Right, thanks for this one. We'll see you in a bit. See you soon. Bye-bye.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.